What's going on, gamers? Welcome back to the Graveyard. I'm the Graveyard Gamer, and thank you for joining me for this episode of Graveyard Gaming. Now, today's episode, I'm looking ahead in 2023, and I'm talking about my gaming goals. That's right, I don't really do resolutions, right? But I do like to set goals for myself, what I'd like to accomplish throughout the year. So I'm going to look at those. I'm going to look back at 2022 and some of the proudest accomplishments I got from that. And then I want to look ahead and I want to talk about some of the games that just have me so excited. They're supposed to come out in 2023. We all know games, unfortunately, they kind of slip into the next year. So I'm going to talk about those. I'll have a graveyard shift, my final one for the year. But with that being said, let's talk about my gaming goals for 2023. So gamers, when it comes to my 2023 goals, I think what's really cool is a lot of these actually tie into each other. I think that'll help me accomplish these things. Now, the first one that I have listed down is I do not want to find myself rushing games. Now, it's not that I have a history of being, 20 hours into a game, be like, okay, I got to finish this game right away. Or like looking at a game going, I get through as soon as possible because I need to get to the next game. It's not that. What happens though when I play a lot of games sometimes, if I find myself seeing more games I want to play, I almost feel like I'm kind of stuck in this game, or I feel like I can't take a, like every second of my graveyard shift has to be focused on what game I'm playing, especially if it's a longer game. Take for example, right now with me and God of War Ragnarok, due to some personal things that have come up, I've actually lost several weeks of game time on this. And to be honest with you, I thought by the end of December, I would be wrapping the game up. Maybe not finished it, but pretty close. And ultimately, I haven't even put 20 hours into this game and I love it. What that does to me is that makes me go, okay, I can't take time to play WWE on the side. I can't take time to try out the new Assassin's Creed DLC. And it makes me go, I gotta spend every second on this game. And I need to get away from that. I need to relax. I need to be able to sit there and play God of War as the majority of what I play. It's my main focal game. But I need to be able to pick up my side quest game like WWE. Or jumping into something like Lost Judgment and try to work on some of the side stuff I haven't finished. I need to be that clarity of mind, because when I get so focused on having to beat a game, it's just not fair to the game you're playing. It's not fair to the games you're ignoring in a way. I think a lot of that has to do with my number two gaming goal for this year, and that is I can't grow a backlog. Look, let me just say right at the gate, there's going to be times where you have a backlog, right? For example, as of this recording, Christmas hasn't happened yet. I did ask for a couple games. If I get a couple games, well, that's honestly right into a backlog. But I need to maintain a respectable backlog, if that makes sense. I don't need to worry about buying rainy day games. And that's something I found myself doing a lot. A game will go on sale and I'll be like, okay, I need to pick it up. If you guys have followed this show, you know that in May of 2020, I was so excited and I put it out there that I did it. I completed my backlog. I'd carried a backlog for several years. Well, I did it. And then a year later, because I was going on another separation from my family with my job, I grew a backlog. The problem is I went too crazy with it. And this past summer, whew, down to the wire, but I did it again. I completed that backlog. I need to stay away from that. I'm home. I know I don't have a ton of gaming time like I had. So it's like I need to be respectful with it. The thing about that is I have to tell myself when new games come out, I can't jump on them. For example, I am super stoked for two games this spring more than any other ones. And that is Like a Dragon Ishin and also Star Wars Jedi Survivor. The thing is, though, knowing it's the end of December and I haven't finished God of War and I'm not even halfway through with it, and knowing I have Plague's Tale Requiem right there, and more than likely a couple of games coming for Christmas, I know that by February I'm not going to get Yakuza. It just doesn't make sense. I don't want to add another game to my backlog. And I don't want to put Yakuza in and then go, okay, you know what, with these games we got for Christmas, I'll keep pushing them back. I don't want to do that. The best way to have to not worry about games growing is not going out and buying them. And as much as it sucks because I get excited about games, I think I need to practice some self-control going forward a little bit. But I think that will also help me not feel like I am so rushed on games, because that's the one thing. Games are supposed to be fun. You're supposed to enjoy it. Me and my good friend Hulking Yoda over at Lost at Sea Gaming, a great gaming podcast right here on Anchor and many other platforms, check him out. We were having a conversation one day where he was almost justifying not playing his main focal game one day because he wanted to try something. And it was like, bro, you don't have to justify it. Go play it. But it's easy to get caught in a situation where there's so many games to play. You want to try them out, but you feel like you're just stuck. That's what I want to stay away from. And I think keeping the backlog down and just reminding myself it's okay. I don't have to rush this game. I can play other games. I don't have to be so stuck on this game will help that out a lot. Now, moving on to some lighter goals, if you will, I want to try out a new genre of gaming. It's over the last couple years, I've just naturally tried out a few different ones, whether it be turn-based RPGs, or in the case of Jurassic Park Evolution, one of those kind of theme park style games. I want to do something this year. I want to purposely find one, and that is Marvel's Midnight Suns. I've literally never played a card-based game. I just never have. I think this looks cool. It's a nice little blend, right? Yeah, it is cards and dealing with decks and all that, but it's also, you know, looks very much like a third-person action game, so I think it seems cool. Every video I've seen looks awesome, and I want to do it. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, it's not going to be something I jump on anytime soon, because since it is a new style for me that I have no idea if I'll like or not like, I think it would be smart to wait for the price to come down or get it on a sale or something like that. But ultimately, I do want to try this different type of style out and see if I can dig it. Now, the next one on my list is I want to get to 45 platinums by the end of 2023. I'm at 40 right now. In all honesty, I think God of War Ragnarok and Plague Tale Requiem will be my 41st and 42nd one. But at the end of the day, you just never can tell what developers are going to do. For example, Marvel Spider-Man in 2018, that was a relatively easy, straightforward platinum. However, when the Miles Morales game came out, the developers decided to add in the fact that you had to play through it on New Game Plus. I don't know that I'll have that time to dedicate the two playthroughs if they do that. I use that as an example because you just never know how developers are going to do stuff. It's easy to look at one game and go, okay, the sequel, I should be able to get a platinum, but you don't know what they're going to change it up with. You don't know until you see that trophy list if a platinum is even attainable. So I think starting it off knowing that I don't have a ton of game time, I think only saying 5 for the year is a respectable number. And then with that, I want another goal. I want one of those platinums to come from one of three games, either Batman Arkham Knight, Sleeping Dogs, or Fallout 4. Now, the key part about Batman Arkham Knight and Sleeping Dogs is one, they were on my Unfinished Business episode a couple months ago that I talked about how much I wanted to go back to them. They were part of a platinum triad that I wanted to get and I wanted to do for a little while. What's cool about that is one of the games in that trilogy was Infamous Second Son, which I played and completed the platinum in 2022. So I think this year I should try to get it in Batman or try to get it in Sleeping Dogs to kind of take one more leg out of that. But if not, I'd love to get it in Fallout 4. And the reason being is I jumped back into that game a couple months ago and I really dug it. And then the DLC went on sale and I really struggled with it. But my good friend Hulk and Yoda, he's excited because he didn't play Fallout 4 when it comes out, but he's looking forward to that next gen upgrade that's going to come out in next year. I'm looking at it going, hey, if he jumps on it, this gives me a chance to jump back in the game. It's always fun when your friend's playing the same game you are, and it might allow me to go through and knock out some of that side content I didn't finish, get the platinum in Fallout 4. I think that would be really cool. So that right there, those two goals, I think they line as well. And the final goal that I have for myself is relatively simple. I want to play more of my Nintendo Switch, and I want to play more Persona 5. My Nintendo Switch, I'll be honest with you, I've kind of kept it to the wayside a lot. Over the last couple months between Mario Odyssey and the Cowabunga Collection, I've definitely picked it up a little bit more. I'd like to jump back into Mario. And I also have Xenoblade Chronicles. I have Breath of the Wild. So it's like there's enough there that I have already that I could spend some more time with it. Because I tell you, the more I spend with it, the more I do enjoy it. And then when it comes to Persona 5, I got to be honest with you, I can't believe I went through 2022 and didn't play that game. Because when I got it in 2021, I was super stoked for it. I tried it out, and guys, I loved it. 20 hours, I loved it. But I said, you know what? It's a long game. I need to put it aside. And I told myself, 10 hours a month is what I'm going to dedicate to this game. And then I didn't touch it again. So I need to go back to the game. I don't have 10 extra hours a month to dedicate to Persona, but maybe I could sit there, and when I get done with games, make that the in-between game, you know? Finish a quote-unquote castle in the game between games, you know, just kind of slowly chip away with it. Just something. I love the game. I love the world. I want to spend more time with it. So I need to make sure I put an emphasis on playing that game just a little bit in 2023. So gamers, now that you've heard my 2023 goals, I wanted to look back at my 2022 biggest accomplishments because I feel like I got some really cool stuff done. The first one is completing that backlog again, because as I mentioned so much in my previous segment, that backlog can really mess with me. It can mess with my enjoyment of the game I'm playing, the games I'm looking forward to, my side piece games. So it was awesome to take that weight off my shoulder. And when I did, man, it led to so many things. It led to me replaying Assassin's Creed Unity, which is a game I've wanted to replay, and God, I'm glad I did because I absolutely loved it. It also allowed me to take the time to play through the Ghost of Tsushima Icky Island expansion, which I absolutely loved, and it allowed me to play through the PS5 version of Death Stranding and try out all that new stuff involved in it, because I just wouldn't have been able to take the time to go back to those games if I still had that backlog. But by and far, one of the biggest accomplishments, and it comes from completing my backlog, is how much I've gotten into virtual photography. And that's just basically taking in-game photos. Now, the difference that I'd say between what I was doing and what I try to do now is, look, whenever the PS4 was announced, I was super excited about taking my own pictures. And then throughout that generation, as we got into photo modes and stuff, I've really taken some awesome shots, some pictures that I wish I could print out and just put on my wall. So I've definitely done a ton of photos. If you follow me on Instagram, you see I take a ton of photos all the time. But what I've done over the last couple months, and it really started with Ghost and Death Stranding, is I've tried to go a little different. You know, it's not just about capturing the beauty of the game or what I'm doing and telling a story with the photos, but it's almost like just trying to get creative. You know what I mean? Like, for example, lining up a character so you really focus on one small detail and just check that out. I started doing it really a lot with Horizon Forbidden West, but it really kind of has, over the last couple months, become something I've done where, you know, at least once or twice during any given graveyard shift, I try to say, okay, I want to create something with this photo. It's not just about capturing what's going on screen. I want to create something unique and different, something that maybe nobody else has taken when they've played this game. So I'm very proud of that accomplishment that I feel like I've been steadily improving with. Another thing that I've done, and this is really cool for me, is in less than 2 weeks over the summer, I got 4 platinums. Look, I'm not a trophy hunter in the grander sense. I don't go after games just to get platinums. When I can get them, I think they're awesome. But I gotta say, getting 4 in those less than 2 weeks was great because, look, here's the deal. They actually meant something. The first two was X-Men Origins Wolverine and Assassin's Creed 2, both of them on PS3. The reason they are, I got an entire episode talking about this, is it reclaimed that legacy. These were both games that I love. They really speak to the core of me and me as a gamer. I'm a huge Wolverine fan. I have them tattooed. I love that game on the 360. Assassin's Creed 2, I love that game as well, and I think it really kind of just make or solidify, if you will, Assassin's Creed being one of my favorite franchises of all time. And I had 1,000 gamer score on Xbox. Unfortunately, I just haven't played Xbox in years. So it always sat there like, man, if I could get those 1,000 points and put them on PlayStation. And here's the thing. I had both those games for years. I'd picked up at yard sales or whatever. I finally sat down and I played through them. And what's cool is I beat both of those games in a week. I got the platinum. I was super stoked about it. That led to me to pick up Assassin's Creed Syndicate, my favorite in the Assassin's Creed series. And guess what, gamers? I did it. I got the platinum in that after only having a few miscellaneous trophies sitting there for several, you know, years at this point, and I just had to force myself, like, dude, just jump back in and play it. And I did it. And then I got one of the platinum triad, as I talked about, and I was able to complete Infamous Second Son. And I gotta say, man, like, all 4 of those games, I had a ton of fun with. Getting those platinums were really cool individually. They all meant something, as I talked about Wolverine and Assassin's Creed and how much Syndicate meant, and, you know, the chase for those triad, platinum triad, if you will, with Infamous. But it was the fact that I looked back and I was like, holy crap, I did that in less than 2 weeks. In less than 2 weeks, I got 4 platinum trophies. And that's a pretty big accomplishment, in my opinion. And then finally, I gotta say, I am actually really proud about this. It was completing the Yakuza franchise. Now, yes, going into 2022, I was really down to Yakuza 5 and Like a Dragon. But at the end of the day, I did it. I completed both of them. I had my opinions about, you know, Yakuza 5 in some areas, and I absolutely loved Like a Dragon. But to be able to complete them and to be able to be like, heck yeah, and even side piece, I could throw in Lost Judgment, one of the sister games, if you will, and just sit there and know that I've completed that. And when Inshin comes out, like, cool, I'm with everybody else. I'm set up to play this game. I'm ready to go. When the next Yakuza Like a Dragon comes out, or Like a Dragon 8, I believe is what it's going to be called, guess what? I don't have to worry about, did I miss anything? I'm right there. I'm ready with everybody. So I am stoked about that. I'm very proud about it. You can also check out my Yakuza franchise episode. It's in my previous episode list. You can check it out and listen to my thoughts on the whole series. But definitely a huge accomplishment completing that entire thing. Because here's the deal. I started my first Yakuza game in the summer of 2019. So in 3 years, I was able to get through all of those games. And I gotta tell you, it's just a cool, cool feeling. So gamers, I've talked about my goals for 2023. I've talked about what I did in 2022, but what are the games in 2023 I am super stoked about? Well, let's start off with Like a Dragon Henshin. And I gotta say, I've heard about this game for years as I was getting into the Yakuza series and completing that franchise. And I'd always heard about this one game, but we couldn't play it over here in the United States. So to know what's coming, and I gotta say, those trailers are just blowing me away. I can't wait. I love the period piece it's going. I can't wait to play it. I also cannot wait to play Like a Dragon, the man who erased his name, because I want to know what Kiryu was doing between Yakuza 6 and Like a Dragon. Both of those games I'm super stoked for. And I gotta say, if I had to pick one of them, which one I'm most excited for, based on just the idea of what the story is alone, it's probably The Man Who Erased His Past. However, based on the gameplay and what we've seen, I am so stoked for Henshin. Next on that list is Star Wars Jedi Survivor, because I'll be honest with you, I'm not the huge Star Wars fan a lot of people are, but I do enjoy it, and I gotta say, Fallen Order was just so fantastic. It is like one of those games that you play and you're like, this is what gaming should be. And the preview for Jedi Survivor just looks fantastic, so I cannot wait to get my hands on that one. Then we have the Resident Evil 4 remake, and I gotta say, I mean, that's awesome. A couple months ago, I actually pulled up Resident Evil 4. I had the port on my PS4, and I gotta say, I was playing it. You can definitely feel how dated it is, unfortunately. You know it's still good, but it's just dated. You know, you're looking at a PS2 GameCube game. Like, you can only polish it up so many times. But a full-on remake with added elements and, you know, just up-to-date gameplay. Oh, guys. Because I gotta say, Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil 3 remakes were fantastic. Resident Evil 4 looks out of this world. I cannot wait to get my hands on it. That's actually why I only played a few minutes, I think 30 minutes of the Resident Evil 4 port that I had, because I didn't want to play too much. I wanted it to be fresh again. So I am super stoked about that. Spider-Man 2, it just so happened today, they sat there and they announced, yes, it will come out in 2023, fall time period. I can't wait. Spider-Man in 2018 was fantastic. Miles Morales was fantastic. I cannot wait for this game to come out. I am just, whoo boy, and where they're going to go with the story. The fact that it looks, at least on that initial trailer, that you're probably going to get to play as Spider-Man and Miles Morales as Spider-Man. You're going to deal with Kraven the Hunter, probably Venom. Like, oh my word, guys. This is going to be fantastic. And the best part is I absolutely love the stories that Insomniac have told in the two prior Spider-Man games. Then we have Hogwarts Legacy. Now, here's the cool thing about this. When it was first announced, I was like, okay, I mean, it looks cool, but I have no ties to it. Well, over Thanksgiving weekend of 2021, my friends found out that I had never seen those, and they're like, nope, we're watching it. So we all sat there and watched all the Harry Potter movies. My kids are big into Harry Potter at this point, so now I actually have a reference for Harry Potter. And while I know this takes place 100 years before Harry Potter, I just think now I can kind of tie a little bit more into that game world, and it just looks fantastic. It looks so cool. I cannot wait to get my hands on the controller and play this game. So, man, you know, give me the sorting hat, because I'm ready to become a Slytherin. That's who I want to play as. I hope I get to play as a Slytherin. I want to be awesome, man. I want to be hitting people with my broom. I want to be zapping them with some spells. It's Illuminosa, and, you know, whatever, you know, have some fun with it. The next one, Assassin's Creed Mirage. I gotta tell you something, the rumors of that game not coming out until closer to fall of next year, August, kind of hurt my heart. I really was expecting to play it early springtime, but at the same time, it opens up spring a little bit, and since there's not going to be an Assassin's Creed game in the fall, if it does come out in August, that might be a good time for it. But I'm stoked about it, mainly because it's a return to the basics. Now, I know that it's probably going to be very similar in a lot of ways to what we had in Valhalla and Odyssey, but the fact that it's going to be a little bit more contained, I've talked about that. I've said that so many times that I think they need to go away from these big, open, gigantic worlds and focus on a really detailed city. So I think that's going to be great. I can't wait to jump in there, play as Bassem, because he's such a unique and interesting character. So very excited about that. And if I'm not mistaken, that's where Assassin's Creed Infinity is going to really debut, that new HUD, that whatever they're calling it. I can't wait to see what it is and how it's in action. So, oh man, I can't wait for that. You have the Dead Space remake, which I gotta tell you, I kind of was on the fence, Dead Space or Callisto Protocol, which is more interesting to me. And I was really leaning towards Callisto Protocol until I found out that it seems like it is a little bit more than a spiritual successor. It seems like it's almost like a carbon copy. So it made me go, okay, you know what? At some point, I would like to get to Callisto Protocol. I still think it looks really good. But all those years ago, true story, I was playing Dead Space. I got maybe a third in the game, and I got stuck in one of those situations where you're very low on ammo, you just hit a save point, and I couldn't get past the next room, and I got frustrated, and I quit it. So I don't know what everybody talks about and how great it is. So this remake looks fantastic. It's a chance to kind of erase that mistake in the past. And I'm excited to try it out, play through it, and probably just absolutely love it. Next up is Forspoken. I can't say I'm gonna love this game. I did try out the demo. I thought it was pretty cool. Some things I liked, some things I didn't. But at the end of the day, I think it's still something that has my interest. It's still something I'm very interested in. I could definitely see playing it and really, really enjoying it. Then we have Final Fantasy 16. I've talked about this. I loved Final Fantasy 15. I think this game just ratchets it up a little bit more. It looks very intense. The fighting, the drama, all of that. Just, I don't know, man. Something about that trailer made me go, you know what? I want to kick the crap out of this bad guy. So I am so excited to play that game. And then Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League. You know, I didn't think this was going to be on the list, but to be quite honest with you, after the last trailer at the Game Awards, I really was like, you know what? This could be fun. This could just be in the same vein as Marvel's Avengers, where it's a fun game. It's a fun story. So I hope so. It could also go the other way, where they try to be too funny. So I guess we're going to have to see how they toe the line, how the gameplay comes together, but definitely interested. Now, I have two asterisks next to these next two games because I just need to see more. I think I'm really going to like these games, but I could also be wrong. And the first one up is Banisher Ghost of New Eden. We saw it at the Game Awards. I just think it looks very interesting, but there was just a small snippet of gameplay. So I need to see what it's actually like. I know Don't Nod has got a good reputation. I personally was not a huge fan of Life is Strange. I know a lot of people liked it. I thought, you know, it was good. It just didn't connect with me like it did some other people. Vampyr's a game I've always wanted to play. I know a lot of people enjoyed Vampyr, so hopefully I can, you know, at some point rectify that and play that game as well. But this game just looks interesting. And I think the story that's hinted at in the trailer is going to be pretty deep and pretty catching, right? So definitely one on my list. And then the other one that I've got a little asterisk to is Wanted Dead. It just looks fun. It's a love letter, they said, to the sixth generation. And to be honest with you, it looks a lot of fun. I mean, you've got a sword, you got some cool combos, you got some gunplay, a lot of enemies happening. It just looks flashy, explosive, and just all about sit down and play and have fun. Cause some awesome mayhem. Now, the only thing about that game that I'll say is I do think when I was watching like a 10-minute video of it, I was like, this could get repetitive. Depending on how they break up the action, how they move this thing along, it could be one of those games where you're like, all right, man, you know, it's okay, but it's just the same thing over and over again. So I'm keeping an eye on that one. But overall, these are the 10 games I'm super excited for and two that I want to keep my eye on in 2023. So gamers, what did I do on the graveyard shift for the last couple weeks? Well, I gotta say, it's a little blend of different games. And the first thing I played was Assassin's Creed Valhalla's Final DLC, and it actually had two different quests you could play. The first one I played was called Shared History. Now, in this one, Eivor kind of meets up and you see some, you know, some dead people, and basically RavenClan's been stolen from. So he goes to team up and figure out what is going on, who is taken from him, and what is happening. And there you meet Rosanne, and I might be mispronouncing her name, but she's actually going to be the mentor of Bassam, which we're going to see a lot about when we see Assassin's Creed Mirage. So it's kind of a tie into that game. And ultimately, your quest is very simple. You get to a little outpost, and you're going to go down and take out the main target in there. You want to take them out because they're trying to make your clan look bad. Meanwhile, she wants to take them out because of some past history there. Maybe we'll see that payoff in Mirage. I don't know. But ultimately, it's just a small, fun little quest. And I enjoyed it because it kind of gave us a hint of what to look forward to. What I also liked, it was very stealthy. So I think it kind of showed us a little mechanically what we might be expecting from Mirage. And then I played the last chapter. Now, this is supposed to be wrapping up Eivor's story. And I won't deny it does wrap up Eivor's story. However, it was kind of disappointing. Not gonna lie. For one, anytime there was a cutscene, it was the female version of Eivor talking to Odin, right? And while that's not the biggest issue, it kind of is when you spend 200 hours in a game and you play as the male Eivor for the vast majority of it. And the game says, oh, but we're going to show you the female version. And that's the only problem I've had with Odyssey and Valhalla's decision to kind of give you the choice of male or female. Is it seems like in both games, Ubisoft already knew they were going to go hardcore with the, you know, Cassandra and the female Eivor lore, right? Like that was going to be the true canon version of the story. So for somebody like myself, when, you know, I played as Alexios, and then when you see in the cutscenes, it's Cassandra, and it's like, okay, now I see the same thing. Again, not a major deal. I understand some of those things have to happen, but it would have been kind of cool if, at the very least in the games, they could have sat there and said, okay, well, he played 95% as female, or he played as Alexios, so we're going to make sure in these DLCs we read that, and we, you know, show the correct stuff, because it kind of breaks the immersion, if you will. I understand in other media, like books and stuff, when it's based on the females, I get that. But when you're playing it, you spend all that hours, like, you just kind of want it to be in line with what you got. So that was a little disappointing. The other thing is, really all it is Bassam going into the Animus and going to different areas, right? And then when he gets there, you know, you're actually playing as Eivor, but as you get there, you kind of see Bassam staring out, and it just basically shows Eivor saying goodbye to different people as he or she would eventually go on to Vinland, which we know is actually kind of around the Boston, Massachusetts area, because that's where Assassin's Creed 3 takes place. That's where, in the game, in the present day, the cabin is. We know where Eivor's bones are. And really, it is just kind of wrapping up talking to friends. I thought there was going to be some very crucial stuff going on. Something to give them a reason to go to Vinland. Something to give Eivor, you know, maybe we see how she died. How she ended up being buried there. But we don't get any of that. It's just saying goodbye to people you met along the way. I personally feel like this could have been an epilogue that released a while ago. I understand why it would be the final thing. I get that. I mean, that makes sense. But at the same time, like, as far as story goes, it wasn't a lot to draw me back into it. There's no fighting. It's literally just going places, lining up with like a certain viewpoint, and then watching a little small cutscene play out. The most interesting thing that happened for me was actually at the very end of it. As Bassam's kind of looking around, all of a sudden, Desmond's father shows up. We haven't seen him since Assassin's Creed 3. And they have this kind of back and forth talk. And at the very end, Desmond's father's like, there's one thing I need from you. And that's where it ends. And it's like, okay, like, I get leaving on a cliffhanger, but that's like the most interesting thing that's happened so far. And then you do see Eivor and Odin kind of having a conversation when they're in Vinland, the future place of the present day of the game. And as they're sitting there having this conversation, it starts to get interesting, and then it fades out. Like, you're not meant to hear that. And it's like, again, I would have been much more interested in hearing, you know, Eivor speak to this, you know, this past person in her, you know, sharing her mind, if you will, then I care about saying goodbye to some of the other people you worked with. So it just felt like it just missed the mark of what I wanted. But I will tell you, jumping back into the world of Assassin's Creed Valhalla, though I was disappointed with the final chapter itself, it just drove it home that I want to play the DLC. Like, I want to play the Siege of Paris and the Wrath of the Druids, because personally, I don't know, there's just something about Valhalla that's just, it feels like coming home, man. I know I spent a lot of time in the game, but I love the combat. I love the world. I love Eivor. I love, you know, all of the things built into it. So it's just like, man, like, I've got to pick those two up. I don't really care about the Dawn of Ragnarok. I'm not going to lie. Like, that just, I don't know. It just doesn't interest me. It looks very similar in style to how Assassin's Creed Odyssey's Fate of Atlantis was. And personally, I didn't really enjoy that DLC. So I kind of don't want to go into the supernatural realm, but I'm definitely interested into those more Eivor-based stories of the expansions. After that, I do got to say that I did go into WWE 2K22. I wanted to start my universe mode. And I got to say, there's a couple things that's a little bit disappointing. And one of that is, I was very excited to get into this more character-focused, superstar-focused, if you will, version of universe mode. Now, you still have that free open sandbox mode, but you have a version to just pick through and pick one person and follow them through universe mode. I went into it with the idea that I was going to have my created character. I was going to create an AEW show and basically have him show up and just kind of crap all over AEW and kind of run roughshod, you know? And it's just going to be something I really want to do. I've got some cool stuff with that storyline. However, once I select that version of universe mode, what I found out is you don't get to do anything. Like, you don't get to set the matches. You don't get to customize any shows. You don't get to customize rosters. You literally pick who you're going to play as, and then you sit there and you pick what show that you can't customize, so NXT, Raw, or SmackDown, and then it gives you a match, and then you just play the match. It's very similar to what they had in the creator mode up until the last couple editions, where it was just match after match after match. So I'm going to continue playing it. There's some trophies I want to get in it. I want to see what these branching narratives they have offered. I want to try that out. But ultimately, I will go back to that open free-for-all sandbox mode because I got to tell you guys, I love universe mode, so I'm going to spend a lot of time on there. Once I kind of do this single focus and just kind of get those trophies and just get a little bit into it, I will jump back into the regular universe mode, and after I spend a little time in there, that's when I'll probably be on the path to give you guys a review for it. Other than that, I did actually try out Gotham Knights, and I got to say, I put about an hour into it, and so far, I've enjoyed it. Let me just say that opening cutscene is fantastic, man. So good. Just, I mean, it's a beautifully done cutscene. On top of that, you know, yeah, I will tell you. I mean, you get the impression, yep, Batman's dead. And I thought it was just so well done. Seeing the Bat family come together, Robin, Nightwing, Red Hood, and Batgirl was awesome. I will say Robin seems maybe a little too young, right? Like, he almost seems like 14 or 15, and I mean, that's cool. I get Robin's always that teenage sidekick, but it's kind of weird when you're seeing it in a game and hearing the voice versus just reading it in a comic book for whatever reason. But I gotta say, the first thing you do, you get to pick which character you want to play as. I chose to go with Nightwing first, and you get to do, like, it's almost like a training mission. You want to break in to this building. You want to find out some details. I'm not going to get into, you know, spoilers or really story moments, but I gotta say, I really loved it. Like, it felt more detective-driven than any of the previous Batman games, which makes sense because this is the same developers that made Batman Arkham Origins, which again I felt was more detective driven as well. So it was really fun to kind of explore and figure out what's going on in there. And then once you get into combat, it definitely feels like the Arkham Asylum style games. However, let me just say, there's no counter button. Back in the day, triangle or Y, depending on what system you're playing, you know, that would be your counter button. If somebody's punching, you hit that, boom, you're automatically countering and knocking them out, you know, blocking, whatever it may be. There's not that in there. There's only dodge. So that's definitely going to take some getting used to as I'm playing a Batman style game, but I don't have that all important thing because in all honesty, let's be real, that Arkham style of gameplay, it completely inspired multiple generations of game. You know, it came out on the 360, PS3. After it came out in 2009, we saw a lot of games adapting that style through the PS4, Xbox One era, and now onto PS5, Series X. That style of gameplay is still very prevalent, so it is just different taking that counter button away. But overall, I will tell you, when I was done with that mission and kind of getting into the next stop, that's where I stopped it at. I don't plan on jumping into it. In fact, next week's episode, I will actually kind of give you my game plan for how I plan on playing, you know, my games going into the future. So ultimately, I don't want to get too far into it, but my first hour with that game is definitely positive. And it's definitely something I'm very excited to jump back in the future. And I will also throw this out there about Gotham Knights. It does have a photo mode. Right out the gate, I'm loving the photo mode. It gives you the option to adjust the lighting in the pictures, which I think is key. I also love the fact that you can have the characters look right at the camera, which, oh man, I wish so many more photo modes would do this. It gives you different poses. It gives you different faces, borders. Like, all the things that I look forward to are in there. So definitely a cool photo mode. And then finally, what was the big game that I played most of the time? Well, you should be able to guess if you've been following this podcast, and that was God of War Ragnarok. And I have to tell you, I told my good friend Hulking Yoda about this recently. Like, up until the point that I got to Vanaheim, I really was like, man, I don't know which one I like better, God of War 2018 or God of War Ragnarok. I mean, they're just so well done. However, you go to Vanaheim, and I got to say, I'm not going to ruin the kind of twist, if you will. It's not a huge twist, but it's a kind of a gameplay twist. But once you get in there, it's just something different about exploring, right? And that's where I'm going to leave it at. I think once you get there, if you haven't got there, you'll understand once you do it. If you've already played there, you know, yeah, oh yeah, there's a big kind of twist gameplay-wise, mechanically and whatnot. But once you get in there and you kind of do the main story part, it's very kind of, I'll almost say linear. You're on a path. I mean, there's obviously some exploring, some collectibles to get. But you get to the point that you get done with it. You get this boss battle, and you've completed your main objective for why you're there. And at that point, Mimir says, hey, do you want to go ahead and leave, or do you want to explore more? And I swear that map doubles in size at that point. And there are so many different favors, which are your side quests to do in the game. And they're just so interesting. I loved them. And they run a fine line. And what I mean by that is there's sometimes games have side quests that are fetch quests, basically. Or they're just super simplistic, and you're just like, okay, whatever. And then there's some that they're just almost exhausting, like they're so detailed. And sometimes that's a good thing, but then when you have a lot of them, you get kind of like, okay, there's a lot going on here. This runs right in the middle where they're not simple fetch quests, even if you are going to go. And I say that, and then ironically, one of the ones you do actually has to do with a game of fetch. But either way, they're just fun to do. They're detailed. There's a lot of story to them, but they're not like overly drawn out. So I've definitely enjoyed doing that. And then just Vanaheim was just such an awesome realm to explore. I enjoy trying to find every secret I could and doing all the different things, the treasure maps, and just any and everything I could do in there. I absolutely fell in love. And then I also have to point out that there's just this level of exploration you do, as I've talked about loving it, but it's backed up by awesome dialogue between the characters I was playing as. And just, I was so wrapped up into that world that eventually you go to the next chapter, and in the next chapter, you actually end up in Asgard. And I thought that was really cool. You know, at first, I actually told Hulk and Yoda, I was like, man, you start off and you're in one area, and I'll go ahead and say this, you do play as Atreus. And as you're sitting there, you're just really trying to get to the outer wall. And it's just fighting enemies and getting there. I was like, ah, I mean, this is cool. The fighting is good. Atreus is an awesome character to play as. But it was like, man, I kind of want something more. And man, do you get it. I mean, once you get up there, you meet Heimdall, and he's just a cocky jerk. But that leads you to a one-on-one with Odin. And at that point, I just was sucked in because the dialogue, again, the conversation, the lore that's being explained, things that are going on in the background that you can kind of see happening in your eyes. And then what Odin and Atreus talks about and what happens next, I really was interested to see, okay, where is this going? I am sucked into this. And then you go back to being Kratos, and at that point now you're gonna go out to Midgard, into the Lake of the Nine, if you will. And again, you're kind of on this quest, and it's really cool. You're on a sled, and you have to kind of follow where your wolves' heads are turning to go where you want to go. I've got to tell you this, guys. I love the DualSense. You know that. It's one of the biggest things I love about the PS5. Man, you can actually feel the difference when you're riding on snow and when you go onto ice. Oh, man, it's so cool, man. You can see the thunderbolt from the first fight with you and Thor just still frozen in time. Ah, man, it was just so beautiful. And then there's so many things to do. There's so much to explore. There's two big favors to accomplish, if you will. One deals with the final Valkyrie from the 2018 game and kind of learning her history, if you will, figuring out what happened with her. And at the same time, going on kind of a little quest to find her quote unquote treasure, which I thought was awesome. Then there's one to take out these raiders, and these are the ones that at one point owned and abused the wolves you own. So it's kind of like a nice little payback for them. But there's so much to explore, so much to check out, some just good combat. And eventually, I did make it to the end of that realm's main objective, which was great because you're trying to figure out, can you stop this fate, if you will? And you want to ask some questions. And that scene is just awesome. As basically, you're given the kind of the idea of, yes, you can stop fate, because the only thing fate is just you doing the things you were inclined to do. In fact, the character looks at Kratos and basically say, you're a God Slayer. You get mad, you go slay gods. Like, that's how we knew you were going to kill Boulder. So I just thought that was awesome. Really well done. Very interested again to see what goes next. But I got to say, the cool thing about that is during the quest, I picked up a sword hilt, and I almost immediately knew what this was going to be. And it's all these tombstones. I found about four or five throughout the game so far. You go up to them and you can interact with them. And then you get this game's versions of the Valkyrie fights, and they are the Berserkers. And once I got done with the main story, Mimir basically says, hey, you can kind of go on to with your quest, or you can explore more. Well, I knew the only thing in the realm that I hadn't done yet that I could do was that gravestone, so I went right to it and started my first Berserker fight. And man, whew, it was a challenge. Now, it was one of those cool things where at first, you die before taking one block of health away from them, and then you just slowly see you getting better and better, and kind of you learning the moves, when to block, when to roll, when to attack, all that fun stuff. And I just kept getting better and better. It did take a while, though. I'm not gonna. It took me a little bit to beat this guy, but at the end, I got done with it. I felt so accomplished, and it was cool. And that's where I ended. That's just what I've progressed over the last couple of days. I am right now at about 37 hours into God of War, give or take, with taking some time here or there. I know the end game counter for God of War is not accurate in my opinion. Like, there's, I do take away times. Like, hey, you get up, you walk away, or you're playing your phone, and the game's paused or something. You take some time off, but it says I'm at 27. My little log that I keep has me at 37. So I think I'm probably about 30. I'm gonna say 34, 35 hours. But ultimately, I have definitely been loving my time in God of War. So, gamers, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you enjoyed the idea I have for gaming goals for 2023, and I would absolutely love to know your gaming goals for 2023. I'd also love to know the things that you're most proud of for this past year. You can always let me know at thegraveyardgamer@gmail.com. You can find me on Instagram, where I'm sharing my kind of gaming story through photos at the Graveyard Gamer or on Twitter as the Graveyard G, where there's always comments or some of my favorite pictures. I like to share that on there as well. But until next time, gamers, I'll be creeping around the graveyard.